Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson. This program is aimed at English learners, so we speak a little slower, and we use words and phrases especially written for people learning English.
We also explain words and language rules, all while bringing you stories and information from around the world.
On today's program, you will hear stories from Dorothy Gundy, Bruce Alpert, Christopher Jones Cruz, and Dan Friedel. Later, Ana Mateo presents this week's Health and Lifestyle Report. But first, Alice Bryant brings us the latest on the flooding and landslides in Colombia.
Families and rescuers searched Sunday for victims of flooding and landslides in southern Colombia. The destruction has killed more than 260 people, Reuters reported. More than 40 children are among the dead, President Juan Manuel Santos has confirmed. Many of the bodies are now breaking down, Reuters reported Monday. Bodies wrapped in white cloth lay on the floor of the morgue. Officials are attempting to bury them as soon as possible to avoid the spread of disease. The government will begin vaccination against infectious disease Monday. In addition, hundreds have been injured and entire neighborhoods have been devastated. Water from a number of rivers flowed over land near Mocoa in the early hours Saturday. The flooding sent water, wet soil, and debris crashing down streets and into houses as people slept. Volunteers and emergency fire workers attended to 82 bodies in Villa Garzón, the town where the river had carried the bodies. The workers said many dead bodies were still trapped in the debris. Jean-Ever Calderon is the mayor of Villa Garzón. He told Reuters that people have had to go find the bodies. What was worse, he explained, is that the town had no coffins or a clean place to put them. Many families in Mocoa stayed awake through the night to search the debris, despite the lack of electricity, Reuters noted. I need to know where they are, if they are injured, or where to find them, Maria Lia Tisoy cried. She was searching the debris for a 4-year-old granddaughter and two of her daughters, one who is pregnant. If they are dead, please God, deliver them to me, she said. President Santos traveled to the town of Mocoa again Sunday to supervise operations. We will continue to search for survivors. And the first thing I want to say is that my heart, our hearts, and the hearts of all Colombians are with the victims of the tragedy, he said. Santos blamed climate change for the disaster, saying Mocoa had received 1/3 of its usual monthly rain in just one night. Others said the cutting of forests in surrounding mountains mean few trees can prevent water from washing over the land. Disaster officials said more than 500 people were staying in emergency housing, and social services had helped 10 lost children find their parents. The destruction came after days of extremely heavy rains. Large parts of the area are now without electrical power or running water. Pope Francis spoke of the disaster Sunday at the Vatican, saying he was deeply saddened. In Colombia, heavy rains, mountains, and informal construction make landslides common events. However, the intensity of the Mocoa disaster was alarming compared to incidents in recent years. In 2015, for example, a landslide killed nearly 100 people. President Santos urged Colombians to take protective measures against the flooding and continuing rains. He thanked China for donating $1 million in aid. He also thanked the Inter-American Development Bank for its $200,000 donation toward aid efforts. Santos also expressed appreciation to Germany and Belgium, which are also donating aid. In recent months, heavy rains and flooding have hit the Pacific coast of South America hard. The floods have killed many people in Peru and Ecuador. I'm Alice Bryant.
After Hillary Clinton lost the presidency to Donald Trump, some wondered how many voters were unwilling to elect a woman for president. Now, a New York show is helping to provide some answers. It is recreating important moments from the three Trump-Clinton presidential debates, but with a big difference. A female actor plays Trump, and a male actor plays Clinton. The show is called Her Opponent. Do the gender changes make a difference? People who have seen the show say yes. But surprisingly, many who speak out in the discussion that follows each show say Trump comes across in the show more sympathetic as a woman, and Clinton less so as a man.
Christine Ostrowski, 22, is a senior at Miami University in Ohio. She watched a performance of Her Opponent online. When she watched the real debates, she said, "It was obvious to me that Clinton had more charisma and was clearly the more qualified debater. But after watching the Trump and Clinton actors perform the debate lines, Ostrowski said she could understand better the appeal Trump had with some women voters. Among the debate moments acted out in Her Opponent is this one over Clinton's experience. Let's listen to the real Trump and Clinton in the presidential debate.
So I know how to really work to get new jobs and to get exports that help to create more new jobs.
Very well, you haven't done it in 30 years or 26 years.
Well,
I've been a senator, Donald, and I have been a secretary of state.
Now, let's listen to the rehearsal of the actors playing Trump and Clinton in her opponent.
So I know how to really work to get new jobs and to get exports that help to create more new jobs.
But you haven't done it in 30 years, in 26 years.
Well, I've been a senator, Brenda, and I've been a secretary of state.
The show's creators are Joe Salvatore, a playwright and New York University theater professor, and Maria Guadalupe, who teaches political science and economics at INSEAD, a graduate business school in France. Guadalupe said, "One sees that when performed by a man, Clinton was behaving within a very female script, smiling, nodding while she was being attacked, and that was not appealing and looked weak. But Trump, performed by a woman, looked less aggressive and more truthful, passionate," Guadalupe said. Salvatore said it was not so much that Clinton supporters became Trump supporters after watching her opponent, but audience members say they now know why Trump won, he said. Salvatore said the experience of putting together her opponent has left him ready to offer advice to candidates. A candidate might learn a lot by watching how an actor would act out their words, complete with facial expressions and hand motions, Salvatore said.
I think that we spend a lot of time in analysis talking about what people said, and I don't think that we spend enough time in analysis talking about how people said it.
It is not only word choice, but how a person delivers his or her message, Salvatore said.
This difference between Clinton offering so many facts and figures, almost to the point of it being dizzying in some moments in the debates, versus Trump saying kind of short, you know, quick, repeatable things over and over again that even if they aren't necessarily accurate, the message lands more strongly and clearly.
A show in which the actors repeat the same words said earlier by other people is not new. Some call it documentary theater. According to Drama Online, this type of show dates back to the 1920s. The aims of documentary theater are to reassess history and to investigate major events. I'm Dorothy Gundy.
And I'm Bruce Salpert.
A new report predicts a rise in counterfeiting and pirated goods over the next 10 years. The report says China has been at the center of copying goods, from clothes to electronic devices and medicines to beauty products. It says governments and businesses are working to stop the illegal and unapproved copying of products and protect companies and jobs. The International Trademark Association and the International Chamber of Commerce published the report in February. It estimated the value of counterfeiting and piracy worldwide could reach $2.3 trillion by 2022. In 2015, the value was $1.7 trillion. The research company Frontier Economics prepared the report. It said social, investment, and criminal enforcement costs could increase the total cost of counterfeiting and piracy to $4.2 trillion. It said that would put about 5.4 million jobs at risk. Counterfeiting and copied goods have always existed. But the increased flow of trade across borders has sped up the production and sale of fake products. The United Nations Office on Drugs and Crime, or UNODC, noted recently that counterfeit goods and fraudulent medicines pose a serious risk to public health and safety. Many everyday goods are manufactured without the knowledge or permission of their owner. Examples can include car supplies, chemicals, electrical supplies, food, drinks, and agricultural products. Deaths and sickness have been reported from fake baby milk powder in Asia. The UNODC and the World Customs Organization estimate 75% of counterfeit products seized worldwide in 2010 were made in East Asia. John Houston heads the YPB Group, a product security business based in Australia. He says the counterfeiting problem is centered in China. The Chinese counterfeiter can now copy the best packaging. They actually put holograms on things that the original brand owner doesn't have a hologram on, to create the aura of authenticity, Houston said. So what you need is a traceable, identifiable, authenticable technology in products, and you would be absolutely amazed how little there is in the world. The UNODC says India and China are the largest sources of counterfeit medicines. It says 60% of counterfeit medical products seized worldwide come from China. Chinese officials are working to stop the manufacture of fake medicines. But as they do so, manufacturers are moving to other countries, such as North Korea, Myanmar, and Vietnam. The major reason for the increase in counterfeiting is the rise of the Internet and online sales. In December, the United States government placed the China-based Alibaba Group on a counterfeit goods watch list. Since then, Alibaba has announced steps to stop the sale of counterfeit goods, and it called on Chinese officials to pass stronger laws and take other actions to stop the manufacture of counterfeit goods in China. The company said China's ambiguous counterfeiting laws harm companies' ability to fight counterfeiters. Alibaba canceled 380 million product listings and closed 180,000 stores on its websites. It also barred 675 companies from selling on their sites. Some governments help fight counterfeiters. Thailand often carries out raids on counterfeiters and publicizes the destruction of fake goods. Cambodia is dealing with problems from fake medicines. The Interior Ministry recently said it had closed more than 60 illegal pharmacies and had taken steps to stop the production of fake currencies. Vietnam's Health Department of Medicine Management has been dealing with a flood of counterfeit beauty products. It has suspended sales of more than 30 such products. Businesses in Vietnam have reported that fake products from China were costing them hundreds of thousands of dollars each year in lost revenue. Houston said there is increasing demand for technologies to help stop counterfeiting or illegal manufacturing. The website marketsandmarkets.com said the value of anti-counterfeiting packaging is set to reach $153 billion by 2020. In 2015, that number was $82 billion. Houston said Asian governments are considering using the anti-counterfeiting technology because they understand the burden and loss of revenue that counterfeit and the black economy place on developing economies.
In the 2015 film The Martian, Matt Damon's character is a scientist left behind on Mars. He has limited food supplies and not much water. He tries to figure out how to survive so he can be rescued. Luckily, he knows how to grow things, and one of the things he grows is a potato plant. A year later, scientists in Peru and NASA scientists in California started working together on growing potatoes in a harsh location similar to Mars. They built a container where they could simulate the conditions on Mars. The salty soil came from the southern coast of Peru, where there is very little rain. Inside the Mars in a box, the scientists made the air pressure similar to what it is like at 6,000 meters, decreased the temperature below zero, and added carbon monoxide to the air. They made a lighting system that followed Mars's daytime and nighttime. They planted 65 types of potato plants and waited. After a while, 4 of them grew. Later, the scientists took the strongest of the 4 plants and tried again. This time, they used crushed rocks instead of soil. The plant still grew. Why is the research being done in Peru? You may not know that Peru is known as the birthplace of potato farming. People grew potatoes there about 7,000 years ago. Even in cold, barren parts of Peru, Ecuador, and Bolivia, potatoes still grow. There is also a potato research center called the International Potato Center in the capital city, Lima. The surviving potato in the Mars in a box is known as unique. It can still grow in freezing climates with high amounts of carbon dioxide. The research is not only for a trip to Mars one day, it is going to help feed people in parts of the world that are already having trouble planting traditional crops due to climate change. The scientists in Peru and California will try to grow more plants in even more difficult conditions. I'm Dan Friedel.
From VOA, Learning English, this is the Health and Lifestyle Report. Exercise is good for us. It reduces the risks of dying from all causes, including cancer and heart disease. This is according to the World Health Organization. But many people who work all week have little time for exercise. So they might try to do something to increase their heart rates over the weekend. Go for a long run, take a bike ride, hike in the mountains, or do a strenuous chore around the house, such as raking leaves, shoveling snow, or digging a garden. We sometimes call people who exercise only on Saturdays and Sundays weekend warriors. But is it healthy to avoid exercise during the work week and then try to fit it all in during the weekend? A new study suggests that, yes, it is healthy. Even weekend warriors may reduce their risk of cancer and cardiovascular disease. Australian researchers at the University of Sydney conducted the study. It took place over a 9-year period. During that time, the researchers looked at the self-reported exercise habits and health examinations of more than 63,000 adults in England and Scotland. Then they connected that information to mortality or death records. The researchers found that people who exercised only 1 or 2 days a week improved their chances of living longer than people who did not exercise at all. Even those who are very overweight or obese could extend their lives by exercising a couple of days per week. Exercises included playing sports and taking a brisk walk. First, let's look at cancer. When compared to those who did not exercise at all, weekend warriors had an 18% lower risk of dying from cancer. As for cardiovascular disease, weekend warriors had a 40% lower risk of cardiovascular disease than inactive people, or so-called couch potatoes. Couch potatoes are people who don't exercise. They simply sit all day like potatoes. Emmanuel Stamatakis is the senior author of the study. He says that he found it very encouraging that even people who exercised as little as 1 or 2 times a week appear to lower their risk of early death. In other words, their health improves even if they don't meet the suggested weekly amount of physical activity. However, to be in the best health, Stamatakis says more exercise is better. The WHO suggests that the average adult get at least 150 minutes of moderate to intense activity per week. For the best results, the organization suggests 75 minutes per week of vigorous physical activity. However, if you are busy with work and family duties, exercise as much as you can. Research seems to show that even a little is definitely better than none at all. And that's the Health and Lifestyle Report. I'm Anna Mateo.
And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson.